My purpose tonight in this famous Gemara in Shabbos and about Bein HaShemoshos is to do nothing else at this point but to understand the text of the Gemara. You may have 100 questions, and for once I will not entertain them. I'll tell you why. Because as soon as we finish the pshat of the Gemara in its most simplistic form, then what we have to do is come and see all of the machlokas. There is a Shitas HaGaonim, there is a Shitas Rabbeinu Yonah, there is the famous Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, that derive all from the understanding of the text of the Gemara. There are problems with Tosfos, Machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos, and Rashi and Rashbam, his grandson, and so on and so forth. As I say, volumes have been written. So for tonight, just let's see what the issues are. I will frustrate you, and for which I apologize, by leaving out a couple of lines here and there that are digressions from the topic itself, so as not to expend our energy on those side topics. Once we grapple with that, if you want to relearn the Gemara with those couple of lines, then there's absolutely no problem. The Mishnah on Lamed Dalet Omed Aleph. The famous Mishnah that we say every Friday night, at least those of us who daven Nusach Ashkenaz, and who don't talk when we say Vameh Madlikin. Okay? Shlosha Devarim, three things, Sarich Adam Lomar, a person is required to state, Besoch Beso, in the place that he must say it is in his home, Erev Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos, Im Hashecha, as it gets dark, Im Hashecha, as it gets dark. What does that mean, Im Hashecha? Is it already dark? Or meaning that it's past the day? Or is it at the end of the day when it is still Yom? And let us assume now, and the Gemara will discuss it, but let's assume now that Im Hashecha means at the end of the day. So it's still Yom. And the three things that you have to say is, number one, Isaltem. Did you take maaser from all the food that we have to eat over Shabbos? Because otherwise we won't be able to eat it. Eravtem, did you make the Erev Chatzeros that we need to be able to walk between apartments or between houses within the Mavo? And the Erev Chatzeros involves the taking of food and the recitation of a bracha. Have you made this Erev? And number three is, if yes to number one, and yes to number two, the third thing that you have to say is, Hadliku es aner, it's time to benchlicht. It's time to, for Hadlokas aneres. That's the first din in the Mishnah. The second din in the Mishnah is, Sofek Hashecha, if it is doubtful that it is dark, Sofek Eino Hashecha. It's a twilight zone, that it's still dark or it may not be dark. But if you come into that zone of Sofek Hashecha and Sofek Eino Hashecha, what are you allowed to do? Well, first of all, Ein Ma'asrin Es Avadai. You're not allowed to take off Ma'aser from something which definitely you know needs Ma'aser taken. Number two, Ein Matbilin Es Akelin. If someone came in and just gave you a very lovely dish or a bowl, and it needs tefilas kelim, and you want to use it for Shabbos, if it's sofek hashecha, sofek eina hashecha, you cannot do tefilas kelim. Alright? What else can't you do? Ein madlikin es aneros. Sofek hashecha, sofek eina hashecha. You cannot light the candles. This has a practical issue over here. If God forbid you have to light candles late, or the woman of the house is coming in after Hadlokas Aneros time and close to Shkia, what should be done is that someone else goes over in its proper time and just simply lights the candles. And she, even though it's late, can make the bracha. The thinking there is obvious. A bracha is not an act of Chilul Shabbos, whereas the candle lighting is. You simply don't get into the issue of Sofek Hashecha, Sofek Eina Hashecha, Ein Madlikin Es Aneros. But if you see that something is happening and it's late, then the person can just light the candles first, without the bracha. The bracha can come later. The person can come and go ahead and say the bracha later. Alright, those are your restrictions at this time, this period of time of Sofek Hashecha, Sofek Eina Hashecha. Avol, but there are certain things that you can do, even though there is a Sofek. Ma'asrines ha-demai. You can take ma'aser from demai. Demai are those fruits or vegetables which midoraisa, there is no maaser, but midorabbanon, there should be maaser. Okay? And this is what we call demai. It's called safek maaser. And safek maaser, rabbanon said we should take maaser. Okay? That, the rabbanon's maaser, can be taken off.
That also includes things that with the araisa, we're not sure whether or not maaser was taken.
No, safek araisa l'chumras, generally. Generally.
But then that also falls
okay?
demai here.
But let us assume at this point, for the sake of definition here, that demai here is taken to be mean, is taken to be meant that Rabbanon asked us mishum whatever suffix to take maaser, but whatever suffix. But at this point, we know for sure that it is only a chumra de Rabbanon. A chumra de Rabbanon in suffix hashecha, suffix ein hashecha, we can go ahead and take off maaser. Okay, and Arvin, we do make a certain Erev. Which Erev is it? I don't know. V'tomnin es hachamin. And you go ahead and you are able to cover a pot so that it remains hot. Okay? Gemara asks a question, Minohani Mile. How do we know that these three things have to be done and have to be said? Every Erev Shabbos, Esartem, Eravtem, Hadliku Esaner. It's Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Omar Kro, it is a pasuk in Eov. V'yadata, you have to know, Ki Shalom Ohalecha, that in your Ohel, in your tent, everything is shalomdik, everything is taken care of, it's perfected. Upokadito, you've got to remember to take care of Novecha, your turf. Nove means your field, your garden, your lawn. And if you'll do this, velo sechta, you will not come to sin. What kind of a sin? There's a different story. Doesn't mean that you're not going to be over in averis that are totally unrelated. But the sum and substance of the pasuk is that it is your responsibility to see that Erev Shabbos, everything for Shalom Bayis, is taken care of. Omar Rova Barav Huna. Rova Barav Huna says, Afal Gav de Omu Rabbonon, Shlosha Dvorim, Tzorich Odom Lomar, even though there is a sense of urgency in the statement of the Mishnah, Tzorich, you must. And there's no question about it that it comes every Erev Shabbos, we all hustle and bustle with a sense of urgency. Did you do this? Is this ready? Is that ready? Because time is running out. Comes Rabba Bar Avuna and says, even though there is this sense of urgency, Tzorich Lememrinhu Benichusa, you must say these things very quietly and very calmly. Don't get terribly excited. Ki heche, so that the likablina humine, so that those whom you are talking to, the ones who have the chores, will accept what you're saying and not look at it every single time like the policeman is here and he's running and killing us because time is running out. So what the chiddush is of this statement is that as important as that Chilul Shabbos could be, based on this pasuk, v'yadato ki shalom ohalecha, that things are perfect, if your household is going to associate every Erev Shabbos with the hustle and the bustle, with the insanities of the poof, did you do the ma'aser? Did you do it? Get out there and do it and do it. Did you put the Erev down, the Erev Tchumim? Get it, go, go. The running and the pushing will create probably a negative backlash that certainly is not wanted or warranted, and it's liable to lead to Chilul Shabbos. And therefore, Tzorich lememrinhu benichusa, when you say these things, you've got to ask, Isartem, did you get around to finishing Maaser? Eravtem, did you put down the air? Okay, if that's the case, nope, we can already bench that. Well, there is no society better than ours that understands how we come into Shabbos 2 minutes before Shabbos, right, with the pressures of Shabbos, so that what Chazal are saying is a very critical thing, that the preparations of Shabbos cannot become so fraught with negative aspects, because ultimately it's liable to lead to all kinds of negative feelings later on in life among the family, which will ultimately lead to a slovenly attitude towards Chilul Shabbos, and And people just will take their merry time because of this negative attitude. Omar Ravashi. Much later, Ravashi said, "Ano, I lo shemia li yehod Rabba Bar Rav Huna. I never heard this chidush of Rabba Bar Rav Huna. That what? That it had tzorich lemeimrin hu b'nichusa. We have to say it. We have to watch how we speak. But nonetheless, v'kiyamti misivara. Nonetheless, it became obvious to me from Svara that the word tzorich and the urgency of tzorich and the urgency of Chil Shabbos over here to be protected has got to be done in such a way that you make sure that you don't have a negative backlash. The gentle and the pleasantness of the Baal HaBayis demanding these things is as critical as the things themselves. Now let's analyze the Mishnah. And we see that there is a seeming contradiction between the first and the second part. Says the Gemara, Ho Gufa Kasha, this whole Mishnah itself is a tremendous problem. Amart, we started off in the first part of the Mishnah, Shlosha Devarim Tzarech Adam Lamar B'Sach Beiso Erev Shabbos Im Chashecha. The words Im Chashecha imply Im Chashecha, if it is yet dark, in. Yes, you tell them to do that. Isartem Eravtem Adliku Esaner. If it is yet day, I'm sorry, and not yet dark. But if that's the case, Sofek Chashecha, Sofek Eino Chashecha. If it's already a doubt whether it is Chashecha or not, then obviously you're beyond that point and you shouldn't be able to do that.
Okay. Realizing that we've broken the continuity on the tape, we'll continue. Ve'omar Rava. And Rava continued to say, it name ma omru, what is the halacha, what is the reason for the halacha? That ein tomnim bedover hamosif hevel va'afilu mi ba'od yom. Why is the halacha that says that you don't go ahead and cover the pot bedover hamosif hevel with something that can intensify in heat, va'afilu mi ba'od yom, even if it is still fully day? Gezerah, there's a gezerah here. Shema yatmin beremetz, maybe he is going to go ahead and bury the pot, cover the pot, beremetz. Remetz is ashes. Rashi, the third line, Efer, hameurav begechalim. There are ashes there, but there are live coals that are still in the ashes. Now that's a problem. Okay, go back to the Gemara. Beremetz sheyesh bo gacheles. Because, omalei abaye, just a minute. The yatmin, let him go ahead and do this. Why? Because it's od yom. It's during the day. What do I care that there are live coals in there? Answered Rava, gezerah. There is a gezerah. Shema yechteb agechalim. He may go poking around in those coals, you know what for? To intensify the heat, to get them up a little higher beyond the ashes, and he's going to say, look, I'm not doing anything. They are ashes from before Shabbos. I put the pot in before Shabbos. I'm just poking around in the ashes. The poking around in the ashes does what? Intensifies the cooking. Even a fraction of a degree. And that's what the gezerah is, that you're not allowed to go ahead and cover a pot in that thing, such as remetz, which mosif hevel, which by its very physical nature gets hotter and hotter. Now you understand, based on this, what the whole Indian of taking a blech is and covering a fire. When you take a blech and cover a fire, you are protecting against this problem of remetz sheyesh bo gacheles. What did we say? We have afer, we have ashes. Ashes are dead in respect to the gechalim, the coal, the embers that are alive. Okay? The blech separates the live flame, so to speak, totally. It covers totally the live flame. Now,
but it sounds like from this, It's more important that the control get covered, not necessarily the flame get covered.
Both.
Because if you're worried about stirring it up, that's equivalent
both.
To the control.
Both. Because remember clearly that only until very recently we've been cooking on stoves or putting chont on stoves like we have. What we always had coal stoves.
Sure.
Okay? And even the touching of the pot against the coals, just the touching,
sure,
is enough to constitute an act of Chilul Shabbos. But what your remark is well taken, that given the change to gas or electric, that the controls now have to be covered.
But because the grill.
Well, the grill has to be covered by shum lo flug. We have to standardize the fact that the fire is totally covered to the point of being inaccessible. If you'll take a pot and touch it and move it around in that spot, that the fire in and of itself is in no way augmented, changed, or any which way. And that is the concept of the blech, to be able to protect that fire from any kind of change.
You guarantee that when you move the pot, the blech doesn't move.
Yeah.
Why not?
Because that blech moving is the same
problem. A blech moving so that it would expose the flame.
Not even expose the flame. You're saying you put the blech on so you don't, moving the pot doesn't affect the fire.
It's got to be a secure blech. No question about it. All right? Except for one thing, that you, again, you have to say that when a blech was on a coal stove and it moved, so taka, the embers moved and the blech would go ahead and move and stoke your things. Here, in gas or in electric, we don't have that. So that even if it moves a tiny bit, I mean, I just don't have the iser of yecheteh, of stoking it. I don't have it. Flame could very well move, but it's still the same flame. It's never changed. It's not increased, it's not decreased. Okay? Now let's get back to Bein HaShemashos. And this is where you challenge me. Tanu Rabbanu. We learned in a braisa, Bein HaShemashos is sofek min hayom, is doubtful that it's day, min halayla, is doubtful that it's night. And the doubt is, sofek kulo min hayom, we don't know if it's entirely of day, and sofek kulo min halayla, or if it is entirely of night. And if this is the case, whenever you have such a doubt, mitilin oso lechomer shnei yomin. When you have a doubt of Bein HaShemashos, and the doubt occurs on 2 days, you take the chumrah of one day and the chumrah of the second day back to back, and you apply it to that moment. Okay? Now let's see what that means. Matilin also lechomer shnei yom. Asks the Gemara of Eizah Bein HaShemashos, what is Bein HaShemashos? Mishe tishka hachama, from the moment of shkia, kol zman shepnei mizrach ma'adimim, as long as the east and the reflections from the west to the east are still red reflections. In other words, the skyline, the horizon, is red, is adon. Hichsif hatachton. But if the bottom part of the horizon suddenly changes and becomes dark, but velo hichsifa elyon, but the upper part of the horizon is still bright, Bein HaShemashos, that is called Bein HaShemashos.
When the eastern turns dark.
Well, you'll see. Okay? Let's assume correct. Then we have a second, another stage. Hichsifa elyon, the upper part of the horizon turns dark. And hichsif comes from the word kesef, which means steel gray, silver. Okay? Turns gray as opposed to red. Vihishva latachton, and the upper part of the horizon is identical to the lower part of the horizon, which has already turned gray. Zehu Laila, that's the simon of Laila. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Up until now, we learned Rabbi Yehuda's shita. We have two other shitas, two others. It's a three-way machlokas in this brisa. So let's go back. Rabbi Yehuda says, when the horizon
the east horizon is red, that is Shkia. Bein HaShmoshos continues when the upper part of the horizon is still light, but and the lower part has become dark. In other words, you look in the sky and you see the bottom part is a dark color, but the top part is still light. And then the third stage is you see the bottom part of the horizon, and above it, where you just saw light, is also dark, then you know that's light. Okay? So we've got the definition of Rabbi Yehuda of what Bein HaShmoshos is.
From Shkia till dark.
From after Shkia until Laila, and the visual sign is Hichsif HaTachton. The bottom part of the horizon has already started to turn dark because the reflections aren't there any longer, but Elyon is still not the same. Elyon hasn't darkened yet. That is Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShmoshos. And this is the beginning of the vast machlokas in Rishonim in trying to understand what it is. The second opinion, Rabbi Nechemya Omer, Rabbi Nechemya says, Bein HaShmoshos is Kidei Sheyahalech Adam Mishetishkah HaChamo Chatzi Mil. As long as it takes an average person to walk from sunset a half of a mil, we're going to assume now, right at the outset, that a mil can either be 18 minutes or 20 or 24. We're going to learn the Machlokas of how we arrive at 18, 20 or 24. Chatzi mil is either half of 18, half of 20, or half of 24. Okay, some say 22. Okay. Anywhere between half of 18 to half of 24. That's the second opinion. That second opinion is that after Shkia basically would be anywhere from 9 to 12 minutes after Shkia is Bein HaShmoshos. Okay? Chatzi mil. If a mil is 18, so it's 9 minutes. And if a mil is 24, then it's 12 minutes. From 9 to 12 minutes after Shkia is Bein HaShmoshos for Rav Nechemya. I don't know, I haven't given any minutes yet because we have to do a job on Rav Yehuda that is going to drive us berserk. We have to see. No minutes. I haven't counted any minutes.
So Bein HaShmoshos is a half a mil.
Half
of a walk.
For Rav Nechemya.
Right.
For Rav Nechemya. Half a mil of walking after Shkia.
Distance wise, what is a mil?
Hold on. Let's continue in the Gemara. We had two opinions, Rav Yehuda's and Rav Nechemya's. We have a third opinion, which is a very difficult opinion. Difficult in trying to understand it. Rabbi Yossi Omer. Rabbi Yossi says, Bein HaShmoshos is keherifayim, is like the blink of an eye. Ze nichnas veze yotzei. It comes and goes instantaneously. Ve'iyashar la'amod alav. You cannot quantify it. You can't hold it down and say this is it. Because Shkia occurs, boom, the minute Shkia is over, there's an instant called Bein HaShmoshos, and then something else takes over. And this is his Bein HaShmoshos, Rabbi Yossi's Bein HaShmoshos. Now, you will recall at the beginning of this brisa, we had a situation here where we made a statement, Matilin also l'chom shnei yomim. It was in the third line of the brisa. And when you have Sofek Yom and Sofek Laila, then you invoke the chumras of both days, the day before and the day after. Where do we do such a thing? What halacha are we talking about? Omar Mar, let's learn the brisa, Matilin Oso L'Chomer Shnei Yomim. We just made this statement that when we have a Sofek in Bein HaShmoshos, we take the Chumer of both days. Ask the Gemara L'mai Hilchoso, apply this to a halacha. What's the halacha that we can see this? Is Omar Rav Yehuna, the Brei, Rav Yehoshua, the halacha is L'inyan Tuma. It concerns Tuma, Kiditnan, and we learned it in the Mishnah. And the Tuma is of a Zov. Zov has a din of Ra'osh Shnei Yomim Bein HaShmoshos. If a Zov who sees an emission Shnei Yomim, 2 days Bein Hashmoshos, so we have here a Sofek Letuma Ula Korban. We have a Sofek to declare him Tomei and also to have to bring a Korban Chatos. The din is that if a Zov sees the emission over the space of 3 days, okay, then he has to, he's not only declared Tomei, but he has to bring a Korban. Now where do you get 3 days if he sees it only twice? If he sees it Sunday night and Monday night, then we take the Chumrah of both days, meaning Sunday night may still be Sunday day. Sunday Ben Hashmoshos and Monday Ben Hashmoshos. Sunday Ben Hashmoshos may be that it's part of Sunday, and also Monday. Monday Ben Hashmoshos he saw a second time, it's part of Monday and part of Tuesday. So it's Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Over these 3 days we saw Ziva, we saw emissions, and therefore he is Tomei, and he has to bring a Korban. Because of the Safek, we have the Chumrah of both days over here. Ra'a Yom Echad Bein Hashmoshos. But if the Zav only saw one day, let's say Sunday night, Sunday Bein Hashmoshos, only once, is Safek L'tumah. So we are dealing here with Safek Tumah, because it's over the space of 2 days, but it's not 3 days, where he doesn't yet have to bring a Korban. Continues the Gemara, Hogufa Kashya. We have a very desperate question as far as this Brisa is concerned. Amal, you said in the Brisa, Ezehu Bein Hashmoshos. What is Bein Hashmoshos? And this was Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. And we are only restating the Brisa at this point, Misha Tishka Hachamo. Once the sun sets, Kolzman Shepnei Mizrach Ma'adimin. As long as it sets in the west, but the reflections in the east are still red. If that's the case, ho hichsifa tachton velo hichsifa elyon is lailahu. That's the case. We said that misha tishka hachama and calls man and it continues to be red in the east, so that's obviously what? That's obviously after misha tishka hachama, which means that's bein hashmoshos. Then you continued on and said hichsifa tachton velo hichsifa elyon. But that's impossible. If we learn the first part of the statement, then we have to obviously say ho yichsifa tachton, when the bottom part of the horizon became dark, velo yichsifa elyon, even though the upper part of the horizon still has reflections of light, lailahu, that should be laila. But if that's the
why?
Because we said shkia sachama, right?
Yes.
What happened? What do we see in the east at shkia sachama?
It's red.
Some time passes,
it gets black.
And it gets black, but not entirely black. Okay, but what do we have? We have Shkia,
yeah.
A red Bein Hashmoshos, and what are we going to call now when it gets black? It's a new stage. It's a new phase.
But does that mean end of Bein Hashmoshos?
Why? If it doesn't necessarily mean that it's the end of Bein Hashmoshos, why make an issue over it? Define what Lila is, and that's it. Okay? Obviously, by making an issue over it and stating it as one of the phases and stages, you are seemingly implying that it is another stage. So Shkia is one stage, the red east is a second stage, which we call Bein Hashmoshos, and the dark lower part of the horizon, well, give it a name. What are we going to call it? Lila.
So what is the difference when it becomes all dark of the horizon?
More Lila. But the bottom part of the horizon is the beginning of Lila, which has an upper part of the sky which is still light.
Okay.
But that's the beginning of Lila.
Okay.
Now that's not irrational, because if you recall a couple of times ago, you remember when we learned by day, there's Alos HaShachar and there's Neitz, but why does Zman Kriyat Shema continue all the way? Because it's fully day. We've established that it's true day after Neitzachama. V'hodartona, then if you look further in the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, it says Hichsif HaTachton, the bottom part of the horizon became dark, V'lo Hichsif HaElyon, but the upper part of the horizon still didn't become dark, and then you call that Bein Hashmoshos. There is an inner contradiction if we relearn the Brisa that we learned at the beginning of the Amud. To this inner contradiction, we have two answers. Both answers ultimately revert to Shmuel. Shmuel passed it on to Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Cheskel. Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Cheskel passed it on to two, Rabba and Rav Yosef. Rabba and Rav Yosef, the third hand or the third generation, okay, already have a machlokas as to what's going on here. How do we learn Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShloshos? Omar Rabba. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel. Go back to the statement in the Brisa of Rabbi Yehuda and Kroch V'toni. And don't put in too many commas. Take out some commas and Kroch. Sandwich them together and then learn it. How should you learn Rabbi Yehuda? Eizehu Bein HaShloshos. And we're re-quoting. What is Bein HaShloshos? Misha Tishka HaChama. One son says, Kol's man shepnei mizrach ma'adimim, so long as the east is still reflected as red, and it continues vehichsifa tachton, velo hichsifa elyon, and it continues that the bottom part of the horizon turns from red to dark, but the upper part of the horizon is still light, nami bein hashmoshos, all of this is still bein hashmoshos.
You say as long as it's red in
the east. Red, and then dark, a grayish, but it's still light above.
Yeah,
all that is Bein HaShemoshos.
As long as it's light above, no matter what it is in the east, it's Bein HaShemoshos.
Correct. And this is what he's saying, Kriach V'toni. Just ram it all together as one value of Bein HaShemoshos. Then, Hichsifa Elyon, the upper part of the horizon starts to darken. Vehishva latachton, and it's exactly the same dark color as the lower part of the horizon. That's when Lila comes. Okay.
That's why, by this definition, you could still have a red glow on the west,
that's
and
correct.
It could be considered Lila by that Lila.
Gemara will discuss it. Machlokas between two Amoraim Abayim Rav. That was one opinion of what Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is. The Rav Yosef, third generation, Omar Rav Yehuda quoted the second generation, Omar Shmuel quoted Shmuel. He learned differently.
Okay. These are all different Rav Yehudas.
No. Rabbi Yehuda in the Brisa is a Tana.
There's two Rav Yehudas. Okay.
You have you got to figure it out.
I got
you have one Omar Rabba, who quoted Rav Yehuda, who quoted Shmuel. Now we have a Rav Yosef, who quoted the same Rav Yehuda, who quoted the same Shmuel. Okay, and both of them are learning pshat in Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana of the Brisa. Okay, Hochi Katoni. This is the way you've got to understand what Rabbi Yehuda said in the Brisa. Misha tishka hachama, from the moment of shkia, kol zman shepnei mizrach ma'adimim is yom. When the sun sets in the west, but it is still reflected in the east as red, it's still day. Finish. Even though, what did we pass? What point in time did we pass?
Okay.
Sunset.
But by him it's still Vadayom.
But it's still Yom according to Rabbi Yosef. Okay? Hichsif HaTachtel, next stage. The bottom part of the horizon turns gray. Velo Hichsif HaElyom, but the upper part of the horizon is still bright. What is that called? Bein HaShemoshos. That's Bein HaShemoshos. And finally, Hichsif HaElyom V'Hishva LaTachtel. The upper part of the horizon becomes dark and gray. V'hishva latachton, and it's the same color as the lower part of the horizon, which has already turned gray. That is Lila. That is night. Now, right here and now, before we finish the Gemara, you see very important implications here. Okay? No. There are two understandings of Rabbi Yehuda. Okay? Rabbi Yehuda, the way we understood, let's work backwards. The way the second opinion, Rav Yosef understood him, is when the sun has already set. And they say, it's Shki already, but we see that in the east it is still red. Can we daven Mincha? According to Rav Yosef?
Sure.
Without question, it's Yom, it's still day. Ay Shkia is Shkia. Sorry. That's the problem that we deal with Shkia. We have I can't say imprecise moment, but we have a confusing moment over here. Because even though the sun has factually set, I still see it light. How can I deny that it is not light? And if it's light, it has to be day. Now, v'ozdu l'tamayu. And both Rav Yosef and Rabbah are consistent in their arguing. Now we're going to have to do a little mathematics here. The itma. For they said, Shir ben Ashmashos bekama. And here they're getting down to tachlis. Okay? Give me minutes. How much is ben Ashmashos? Omar Rabbah, Rabbah said, Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel. The same chain. Rabbah said, quoting Rav Yehuda before him, quoting Shmuel, that Ben Ashmashos is Shlosha Chelkei Mil, three parts of a meal. What kind of parts? Asked the Gemara, my Gimel Chelkei Mil, what do you mean? What kind of parts are these three parts of a meal? Ilema, if we will assume, Tlosa Palge, that it is three parts, Palge, three halves, all right, of a meal, then why do you say Gimel Chelkei Mil? Nemo, say it outright. Mil v'chetzi. Three halves are a meal and a half. Ela, therefore we have to say, Ela tloso tilse milo. Maybe it is three thirds of a meal. Well, three thirds of a meal, if that's the case, Nemo, mil. Say it's a meal. Three thirds equal one meal. Ela, therefore we are forced to say that if it's not three halves and it's not three thirds, what's next? Ela, klosa rive'e mila, three quarters. Three quarters of a meal is bein hashmashos. Alright? Now three quarters of a meal, if we assume that it's 18 minutes, okay? It's how many minutes? It's about 14 minutes. That is Rabbah. But Rav Yosef? Rav Yosef, Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, said as follows. Bein HaShmoshos, Kama Bein HaShmoshos is what? Shnei Chelkei Mil. It's two parts of a meal. Ask the Gemara, my Shnei Chelkei Mil. What kind of two parts? Ilema, if we assume Trei Palge, that it is two halves, Palge is half. Is it Trei Palge Mila? We're talking about two halves of a meal. Lema meal. Assume that he's talking about a meal. Say that it's a meal. Ben Hashmashos is a meal. Ve'ela, if that's the case, Trei Rive'e Mila. We have to assume that he's talking about two quarters of a meal. Okay? You'll soon see why he skips two thirds of a meal. Trei Rive'e Mila. Two quarters of a meal. Well, two quarters of a meal, lema chatzi meal. Reduce it to its lowest common denominator and say it's a half a mile. Two quarters is a half. Elo, therefore, we are forced to say that Rav Yosef holds that it is trei tiloso meal. That bein hashmoshos is two thirds of a meal. Okay, two thirds of a meal.
12 minutes.
It's how much? 12 minutes. Ask the Gemara. My benayhu, what is the difference between Rabbah and Rav Yosef when it comes down to minutes? Iko benayhu palgog dedanko. The difference between the two of them is a half of a sixth. A half of a sixth is a twelfth. So it's about 1/12 of a percentage difference between the two. Okay? Now, this is the next part we're going to skip, because the next couple of lines deal with Rabbah and Rav Yosef also in a machlokes of size, okay? This time not size of time, stretch of time, but volume, as far as a beehive is concerned. And it happens to turn out that where in our machlokes Rabbah is more generous in time then Rav Yosef, it's just the opposite way here. Rav Yosef and Rabbah turn it around, the other way around. One is not as generous. But let's skip it because it's totally irrelevant to our particular study. Can you find the words Abaye Chazye Lerova? It's about
10 lines.
Abaye Chazye Lerova, the Kodove. Got it? No?
Got it. Okay.
Abaye Chazye Lerova, one saw Rova, the Kodavoy Lemarov, who was looking to the west. Obviously, he was looking to see what? To see if the sun had set. But where was he looking? Huh? Where was he looking? To the west. Okay. Oh, Malay. So Abaye said to Rava, just a minute, my friend. V'hotanya, didn't we learn in a braisa, kol zman shepnei mizrach ma'adimim? When you look, don't look to the sunset. Look to the reflection of the sunset in its opposite corner. And go to the Mizrach. That's when you're in Bein HaShemoshos or you're after Shkia. Amalei, so Rava answered him, Mi Savrat Pnei Mizrach Mamash? Can you imagine that when they said Mizrach, they actually meant Mizrach? The sun doesn't set in Mizrach. The sun sets in Mimara. I want to be exact. I'll look there. So the answer was that he gave his lot. Ponim hama'adimim es ha-mizrach. Okay? He says, no, it didn't mean mamash. It meant the face that reflects the east. Now, what is the face that reflects the east? So to speak, the source of light in the west. That reflects over to the east, the sun setting, and that's why I'm looking in the west. Iko da Amre, there are those who report this conversation between Rava and Abaye a little differently. Rava chazye la Abaye. Rava saw Abaye de kod davoy le Mizrach, who was looking in the east to see what time it is. Omalei, so Rava said to Abaye, mi savret penei Mizrach mamash? Do you really mean to say that the Brisa literally meant that you have to look in the east to find out when Shkia is? Look in the west where the sun is. Ponim ha-ma'adim imes ha-mizrach. Has to be mamash. Look to where the origin is that reflects on the east. V'simoneich, and if you want a mushal, a simon, that I am right, is kivaso. Kivaso is a window. Now what do you do with the window when you want to see what's light? Do you look at the window? Or can you see on the wall opposite the window the reflection of the light? Okay? You're not going to look at the window to see how light it is. Look at how much light is cast on the wall opposite the window. So let the window be the west, where the sun is, and the east, look, taka, look in the east, then you'll know what the real amount of light is that exists. How much is reflected across the horizon from the west to the south, from the window to the opposite wall, so to speak, and then you'll know the right time.
Oh, but then that's not what Rava said. But yes, Mizrach Mamash. Rava was looking to the west, and Abaye asked him, why are you looking to the west? We learned that a bride is supposed to look to the east. So Rava said, do you think the Brisa meant East Mamish?
Mm-hmm. And the answer is no. V'simonach kavaso. How do you determine how much light comes out of the west? When you look at not at the window, you look at the opposite.
Right.
That's the real reality of what west is.
So why is Rava looking to the west?
Excuse, look again, what does it say? In the second, in the Ikad Amri. Rava chazye la Abaye de kodavoy le Mizrach. In the second version of this, Rava saw Abaye, okay, looking take to the east, and Abaye said, "Gival Gishrigan, why don't you go ahead and look to the west?" He says, "I'm looking to the east because the true source of the amount of light that still is generated will be told on the wall opposite the window, not from what I see of the sun. Okay? Got it?
Why the first half? First half, brother says, Misavra's.
Divorce the first version from the second version. It's not a first half and a second half.
I know.
Have two totally different versions, okay?
I understand the second one.
Alright, so go back and let's learn the first one again.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Okay, it says, Mizrach Mamish. So Rava says to Abai, you think they meant, you know, when they said Mizrach, they meant Mizrach Mamish? He answers, look, Panim,
Hama'adimim es Hamizrach. Okay? Look at the reflection, Panim, Hama'adimim es Hamizrach. Look at the reflection that is in the east, that lights up in the east. Don't look at the west. Don't look at the source of light. Look at the source of the reflected light in the east, and then you'll know how much is Yom still.
So why is Rava looking to Mizrach?
But he was looking to Marav.
Right.
What are you looking at the sun? Look at the reflection. The greater reality, the truer reality of the day is in that how much is still reflected across the horizon.
Right. So Rava is looking, the first, right here. Rava is looking to the west.
Good.
Okay, Abaye sees Rava is looking to the west. Why are you looking to the west? East Mamish? And you said, no. Look at the reflection in the east. Okay. The last part of that, Panim Hama'adimim et Hamizrach. I don't understand that. I don't understand how Rava can use that to justify looking.
No, in the first one, Ponim Hama'adimim es Hamizrach means the source that reflects, look at the source that reflects and makes red the east, which is what? The sun in the west.
Okay?
Got it?
Sorry.
All right. No, it's late at night, man. Quickly, we'll be able to finish Rav Nechemiah. And we'll stop there. Rav Nechemiah Omer, quoting the Brisa again, Kideshi Halech Adam Mishetishka Chamo Chatzi Mil. Sun sets, an average person walks a half of a mil. That is what we call Bein Hashmashos. Omer Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Chanina says, Harotze Leidashi Yerosha Rav Nechemiah, if you want to test, if you want a yardstick, a rule of thumb as to what that shear is, this is what you do. Yaniach chamo b'rosh ha-karmel. You wait until the sun is at the head, at the mountaintop of Carmel, of the mountain Carmel. V'yereid, go down the mountain into the Mediterranean, because the Carmel flows into the sea. V'yitbol bayam, go ahead and do tevila in the ocean, the yale, and come out of the ocean and dry up, the zehu shiur for Rav Nechemiah. This is Rav Nechemiah's Bein HaShloshes, which we've calculated at about 9 minutes. Okay? A digression. Omar Rav Chiya. Rav Chiya says, as long as we are talking about the Carmel and the yam underneath it, HaRotzeh Lira'os Be'erosh El Miriam, if you ever want to see the Be'er, this traveling source of water that Miriam had with her all the time in the desert, is Ya'aleh l'Rosh HaKarmel, go up to the mountaintop of Carmel, v'yitzpeh, look down, v'yir'eh, and you'll be able to see k'min kivara, like a sieve, that's a centrifuge, okay? K'min kivara bayom, that exists in the sea, that can be seen from the Carmel. Vizohi Be'er Shel Miriam, that is the Be'er of Miriam.
Omar Rav, Rav therefore said, Ma'ayan ha-mitaltel, a portable ma'ayan is always tahor, can never become tuma, can never become tome, because water that is in a kli can become tome. And here we just describe the Be'era of Miriam, the Be'era of Miriam, as if it is a centrifuge, as if it is a big, gigantic pot in which there is this swirl. So Rav said, Be'era shel Miriam is ma'ayan ha-mitaltel, is tohor. And the only ma'ayan ha-mitaltel, the only portable ma'ayan, is zehu Be'era shel Miriam. This is the Be'era of Miriam. Now, the Be'er of Miriam, this is a piece of Agadita, there's no question about it. I learned it because there is a lot to be said about it, and it has nothing to do with Zman, but if you want some interesting sources on the Be'er of Miriam, which don't look at this Agadita this way, which don't view the Be'er as being able to be pointed to and say, oh, here it is, then I'll have to show it to you. We could take it up as a light moment some other time.